Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation. Today, we are going to be talking about something a little interesting, something that kind of intertwines with Pastor Craig's message on healthy success. And today, I want to talk about chaos, okay? Particularly, peace instead of chaos is the title that I've come up with today. Peace instead of chaos. Pastor Craig's been on this kick about healthy success and how you can be healthy spiritually, but mentally, physically, and all the different aspects that are incorporated in our lives that make us who we are and how we can be healthy in these different aspects, okay? And I have a very specific one, and it's more of a mental one, but it's not a normal mental one, okay? Because I'm a youth pastor, okay? Now, for those of you guys who really, really know me, I enjoy a bit of chaos. Okay, let's be honest, a bit more of chaos than the average person, maybe, or at least average. If you know Pastor Craig, he does not like chaos. He does not like having to solve something last minute if he doesn't have to. Okay, how do I know this? When Pastor Craig goes on a trip, I went on a trip with him one time. You guys get to learn about your pastor a little bit, okay, about both of us. He has a binder, okay, and he has tabs in said binder for each individual thing. He's got one for his first flight, his return flight, his rental car, his hotel room. He's got a folder for receipts in there to be able to keep track of those. He's got extra pieces of paper. He's got a pen. And I'm like, okay, dude, all right, we prepared. We prepared for anything and everything, okay? So that way, if somebody says, if he gets to the hotel and they're like, I don't have your reservation, he's like, he pulls out the paper and there it is. And the chaos is immediately solved because he's chosen to be prepared. I'm the kind of guy like, oh, let me pull out my phone. It's somewhere in my emails. Hold on, give me like 3 minutes, okay? Let me solve this and we'll figure it out. That's generally the kind of person that I have been. But I'm also a youth pastor, and for those of you guys who have raised kids or have kids, you understand that they also operate in chaos, okay? How do I know this? Well, because I was a teenager once, as many of you guys were. I was one of those kids that had a clean pile of clothes and a dirty pile of clothes. At one time, they merged, and I wasn't sure what was clean and what was dirty. Being the procrastinator and lazy person that I was as a teenager, I said, well, they're all clean now. And we just went with it. We started a new dirty pile. And we did the sniff test, right? We did the sniff test. And we tested it out and we figured it out. And we just made it work. We just made it work. That's just how it is, okay? Now, some youth kids are going to be like, they're looking at me like, don't do that to me, please. Don't. Pastor Zach, you're not allowed in my room, okay? But I believe the Lord helps us and he prepares us as long as we make the most of every opportunity, okay? But before I talk about that, what's the definition of chaos? It is a state of utter confusion, okay? That was my room growing up, okay? It was a state of just utter confusion. Because you'd walk in and like half the room is dirty and half the room is clean. I no longer had a bed frame because it broke. So we just left the mattress on the floor. Okay, we didn't have closet doors because my brother broke them. So it was just open, and in the middle of the said closet was a TV, okay, and an Xbox for me to play video games, okay? And then in one corner, we had a chess set, a very nice chess set, glass board, very expensive. There was a time when I was very heavily involved in chess, okay? And then you look over at my dresser, and you're like, don't touch that. It looks infested, okay? You didn't know what was going on. No one wanted to come in my room. It was utter chaos, okay? My mom stopped asking me when I last changed my sheets, and I was like, I don't know, whenever you did, which was probably 3 years ago. I have since changed, everybody. I have been reformed. I have been redeemed, okay? I'm married, and I have a wife who loves me and helps me, okay? But most importantly, I had a revelation when I was young. I was sitting in math class, just fooling around, talking with people. And to me, the best revelations are is when your mind begins to sober up. And I'm not being sober up from alcohol. I'm meaning from the stupid funniness that you like to be in because life is easy that way. I'm sitting in math class as a sophomore, and some people are doing homework and some people are goofing off doing whatever they want. And at this point, I have now received Jesus into my life. And when I had first received Jesus, my mind began to unclutter. I found peace and security in a way I never understood. And all of a sudden, everything begins to make sense. Math becomes easier, science, all my classes become a little bit easier because the chaos of my mind has subsided. But the chaos of my understanding in what I do had remained the same. And so it took about a year. I'm sitting in a math class and I look around and our classes were like an hour and a half long, each one. We did four classes and we only had two semesters. Okay, so we did eight classes a year. This was in high school back in Michigan. And I'm sitting there and I have this revelation of, why am I doing what I'm doing? And I began to look around. There's some people doing homework and there's some people not. And I began to do the math in my head as my mind sobered up. And I realized that my teacher has given me 45 minutes to do my homework. He gave us all the homework for the entire week, and it wasn't even that hard. I got 3 days of homework done in that 45 minutes after I stopped goofing off. After that, I realized every teacher gave us somewhere between 45 minutes to a half an hour. They only taught for like 45 minutes, and then they gave us time to do whatever we wanted. And they didn't care. They supervised us, but they weren't going to be like a hammer, like, you need to do this and this. And I realized that I could no longer have homework to take home if I just sit here and do the work. And for the next 3 years of my high school career, the rest of my sophomore, junior, and senior year, I never took homework home because I chose to make the most of the opportunity that was given to me. I also made the revelation that if I'm going to continue to be this person that can't clean their room, can't get things right, can't get organized at least somewhat, and stop complaining about these things, then I'm never going to be a successful person in society. No woman is probably going to want to marry me. These are all the things that's going through my head in math class. And I realized and I decided to make a choice to stop complaining and just do it. Okay? Now, I still had struggle with clothes. Okay? I still hated folding clothes. I still hated doing laundry. As I did it, I wasn't super great at it. Okay? So you want to know what the Lord has me do later on? He gets me a job at American Eagle. You want to know the part of their training that they have you do? Fold clothes. I wasn't great with people back then, and I wasn't super great at the cash register, and they already had a number of people who were great, and they were like, we're going to take you off the register. We're going to put you in the back where you fold clothes all day. You open up the boxes. You organize them. You set them out. You put these ones on hangers, and you organize these ones, and you fold these ones. You go out there into the store, and guess what? We got these beautiful racks of jeans. Someone has messed them up. You now must fold them. I'm going to now teach you five different folds of how to fold jeans. And I went, why? But I realized that if I wanted my job, I had to do this and do it well. As the man that I am, when I do something, I do it with everything, okay? I can't do anything halfway. That's not how my grandpa let me do things growing up, okay? So it was either all or none. And so we got really good at folding jeans and really fast at hanging clothes, okay? I taught them. I created a new speed hanging system for American Eagle, okay? That's just what I do. But I believe the Lord wants us, as much as he helps us and gives us these opportunities, he wants us to choose peace over chaos. And so one way we do that is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11, okay? It says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here's my first point for you. Peace is not found in chaos. It is found in being sober-minded. Peace is not found in chaos. It is found in being sober-minded. Pastor Zach, what do you mean? Well, there's a lot of things that this means. We as human beings, I believe in each of us, lives a certain point where we like chaos because we tend to thrive in it. Why do we thrive in it? Because of adrenaline. Because the adrenaline gets pumping when your assignment is due tomorrow and you've done nothing for it and it's a 7-page paper. And all of a sudden, you're super great at, you know, finding all the sources that you need and all the information and quickly processing it and putting it in the format that it needs to. You're really great at that. And so there's a part of us that begins to get used to the adrenaline rush of having chaos. And in certain situations, we thrive in it, and we like this. We like this. It feels good. It gets the blood flowing and pumping, and we're there, and we're in the midst of it, and it's just like, yes. But then that begins to put into us procrastination, where we begin to fall into something where it's just kind of what we're used to. It's what we like. It becomes easy, even though it's chaos, and you've not really understood that you're putting yourself in chaos. Peace is a choice that you get a chance to make most of the time, a good portion of the time. Now, some things are out of your control. I'm not saying that the whole world is perfectly in your control, but I'm saying you as a single person can make the choice to have peace and be sober-minded instead of in chaos. Trust me, I get it. I'm someone who thrives pretty good in chaos, all right? You give me a bunch of youth kids, you give me about 100 of them, 5 leaders who don't know what they're doing, and I can organize everything out of it, okay? I will organize it and put it into ways and get everyone having a good time with $10 in my pocket, a couple pizzas, and whatever else, and we can make it work, okay? But I have experience doing that. I've watched other people do it, so I understand it. So I don't realize that it's chaos anymore. But the problem is that we like to lie to ourselves sometimes and say, this is okay, this is acceptable. The Lord has so much more for you. And if you choose peace instead of chaos and choose to be sober-minded, it's going to pay off for you. Here's a quote that I first heard in a movie. Okay, Coach Carter, and it's something I found interesting that I didn't fully agree with, but there's certain parts of it that I agree with, and I want to read it here for you. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I find this to be generally a pretty powerful quote. And if you're someone who has accepted the Lord into your life, and you have the light of God, the love of Jesus in you, then this is talking about you specifically right here. Okay? This is talking about you, where we choose to be sober-minded instead of choosing the chaos of I'm not good enough, I'm not important enough, there's no way I can do that. Instead, we choose peace. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19 tells us this. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Right here, we have Peter. This whole First Peter, okay, is all about pretty much the same exact thing. Be watchful. Be sober-minded. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through hard times. And if you suffer as a Christian, glory to God. It's okay. You don't have to complain about it. If you really need to complain about it, do it as Jesus did in the garden when he's like, God, if you could take this cup from me, so be it. But if not, I will bear it. That was the example that Christ left for us. And here he continues. Verse 19 is so powerful. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This reminds me of Stephen in the New Testament in Acts, as he's being stoned by those that do not want to follow Christ. And as he's there on his knees being stoned, he looks up and he sees Christ and he sees him in all of his glory. And he's not worried about the stones that are hitting him. All he sees is Christ. And he's like, yes, as he begins to rejoice and praise because he sees Jesus. And he's like, that's all that matters. And he entrusted his soul in that moment to the faithful Creator who took care of him. My second point for you this morning is stop playing dumb or stop playing funny. Your being funny, your not being serious is not helping the people sitting next to you. Trust me, I want you to have fun. I'm not saying don't have fun, okay? I'm a youth pastor. I love to have fun, all right? I've got kids. I love to have fun with them. But when the time comes to be serious, let's be serious. When it comes time to enjoy the Word of God, let's enjoy the Word of God. When it's time to stop fooling around and learn the Word and pray, let's set those things aside and be as Jesus asked us to be. Stop playing around when someone at the office or at your work, or if you're even just going around and someone's like, yeah, I don't know if I believe in God, and you choose to walk the other way instead of having a conversation. You're playing around and playing dumb as if you don't know Christ does not benefit you and it doesn't benefit the world. The problem is that sometimes we just don't have the peace in order to be able to do it. Matthew chapter 5, verses 2 through 12 says this, and this one's a really fun one. And it says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, this is Jesus, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For as they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now there's a lot here, but the only one that I really want to unpack for you is the peacemakers. When you have peace, you can help make peace. between those and things and that's going on in your life if you choose peace. Some of you guys might be wondering, well, how exactly do I get peace? Where is peace found? Like, what do you mean? It sounds like sometimes I'm just saying words and it really doesn't make sense. But what I want to be able to share with you, okay, is a story that recently happened to me, okay? And this is when I was in Walmart, okay? I was in Walmart and I just got done driving from near the Tetons. It's about 3.5-hour drive. I woke up at 5 a.m. I drove all the way back to Casper. I got here, helped with the call trip and everything else that was going on, and I had to buy some stuff at Walmart. I'm hanging out at Walmart, and it's like 11 o'clock in the morning still. Okay, it's 11 a.m., but I'm tired. I'm done. All right, I've been going and going and going, and I'm standing there in Walmart, and I'm waiting in line. I'm waiting for a real person, and here's what happens is I'm standing there. There's a lot of people at Walmart on a Saturday at 11 o'clock. Okay, some of you guys already know this, and that's why you don't go then, and that's fair. But I'm looking around, and all I see are frowny faces. And I see one dude who's got this big old long gray beard. It's like down to here, and he's like, he looks mad. And I'm like, yo, dude, relax, okay? Like, it ain't that serious. It's just Walmart, all right? But I realized something in that moment as I'm standing there in line. My mind began to sober up. And I'm looking around, and I'm having a realization, a revelation that's going on in the midst of all of this. And I'm like, man, I don't see one person smile. I was like, man, is this really like where the world is right now? Is this where Casper is? That there's no peace? There's no joy? I was like, where is it? And so I'm looking around. And I begin to think to myself, and I'm like, well, why aren't I smiling? Don't I have reasons to smile? Because I look like everybody else. I almost look as mad as the one dude with the big gray beard. Okay? And I remembered something that I've forgotten. And it's that I have Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed, guys. I've been forgiven from all of the horrible things that I've done. He has helped me through all of these different situations. He's helped me realize to be a successful man and what that looks like. And in that moment, I found peace through Jesus Christ. Peace in just the revelation that I'm loved. I'm a child of God. I have a great church. I've got a great family at home that loves me and that I love so much. And while I might not be with them, I know that they're here with me right in my heart. And so is Jesus. And as I began to remember all of these things, I just began to smile. And I went, yeah. And it doesn't matter if nobody else is. I will be that light with just a smile then. It doesn't matter how bad my feet hurt, how tired I am, how crazy the situation has been. In the moment of chaos, I chose peace. I chose to be sober-minded of the situation that was around me, and instead of complaining about the situation, I chose peace through Jesus Christ because of what he's already done, because of who he is. So here's my third and final point for you is to be sober-minded. Being sober-minded is mostly a choice. You choosing to be sober-minded is your choice. Now, trust me, I understand. I've been tired. I've gone without sleep for like 2 days. I hadn't eaten in 2 days. I only drank water. I was a wrestler, okay? So that's, if you understand why I'm doing that now, you know, okay? And in those moments, I've still been able to do my homework and still go to class and do all of the things without saying a word. If I can do that in the flesh, how much more can I do that through the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ has given me? How much more could I be stronger and choose to be sober-minded? You can sit there and be like, well, I'm tired. I just can't do it. If you just choose to stop complaining and be sober-minded, you have that choice. You can be the funny, great person who's really tired and be like, hee, 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 at a party. Or with your, if you're with the youth kids, they'll tend to do that. When they get tired, sometimes they either get mean or they get funny. Okay? And it's like, oh, this is the first time you've ever been funny. I'm just kidding. But they are choosing to act that way. Their body is not forcing them to be that way. If you really wanted to, I bet if you smacked them good enough, right, or gave them a good spanking, they'd wake right up and be like, okay, right? That mind would sober up and they'd stop acting like that. Here's my last verses for you. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 22. It says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were being brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." Christ suffered that we might have peace. Christ suffered that you might have peace, so that way you could get out of the chaos. Now, here's the last little bit that I want to leave with you guys today, is that if you can take what Pastor Craig has been teaching you about healthy success, and you can make your life less chaotic in the morning, less chaotic in the afternoon and during lunchtime and every other time during the day, when chaos happens because of the world and because of people and people that choose to do bad things, guess what? You will have enough peace and patience to handle those things when they come. When the person that shows up that cuts in front of you while you're driving, instead of having chaos all day, you can choose to have peace in that moment because you've had peace during the rest of the day. You only have so much peace and patience within you. Some might have some more than others. But if you take up all that peace and patience and you use it all up in the morning, then you're not going to have any for the afternoon. Just as me as a dad, when I come home after hard days of work here at the church, from moving chairs and doing all sorts of things and being here early and handling one thing after another and all these things, when I get out of my car and before I open the door, I choose to sober my mind and choose peace. So that way I don't have to put it on my children because they weren't the ones that did it. So that way I can walk in, and even if they've been good or whether they can be bad, I can handle the situation accordingly. Because I chose to make that option. I chose that when I walked through the door, I was going to be a great dad. That I was going to have peace. That I was going to love them. No matter the situation, no matter if the house was destroyed or not, I was going to love them. And I was going to handle it accordingly. You can make that choice. Now, I believe Jesus Christ helps us in that a lot. Like I said earlier, because he already did it all. He already took the sin. He already took everything else. So what does it matter? I've got the one who gives me peace. I've got Jesus. And he wants to stay in my heart right there. And he wants to give it to me every single day. And when I know that and I can put a smile on my face, it makes it a whole lot easier to be able to praise him when I show up to church. Because I'm like, yeah, I'm praising the one that redeemed me. Okay? That's why. I got a reason to dance. I got a reason to rejoice. And it constantly says that all throughout 1 Peter. It says, rejoice! Rejoice even in the struggles, even in the hard times, even when you're being persecuted as a Christian, even when you don't understand and you're in the midst of chaos, it says rejoice. And I get that can be hard, but it's a choice. Part of it is a choice. Would everyone bow their head and close their eyes this morning? I want to ask you guys a question. Is there anyone here this morning that says, I don't have the peace of Jesus Christ? I don't know him like this. He's not my Redeemer. He's not my Lord. He's not my Savior. If you're here this morning and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Redeemer, you want to ask for forgiveness, you want to invite him into your heart and into your life today, would you raise your hand this morning? If you want to accept Jesus Christ this morning, would you just please raise your hand? I don't see any hands this morning, so I'm going to ask you guys another question. If you're in this room today, you're like, Pastor Zach, I need more peace. I need some more patience. I need help choosing peace and Jesus Christ to remember him each and every single day. I'm in too much chaos. Can you pray for me today? I'd love to pray for you today. Would you raise your hand if you're like, I just need some more peace and patience in my life? I see those hands. You can put those hands down. I see your hand. I see your hand. You can put your hands down. Thank you, guys. I want you guys to have more peace in your life. I want everybody to. Let me pray for those who raised their hands today, for those who asked for more peace. Jesus, today we look to you for peace. Would you instill your love, your peace, your patience, and your strength on each and every single person that raised their hand today, on every single person in this room, God? Would you just begin to love on them? Would you hug them? Would you help them in this moment? Would you begin to calm their mind, calm their nerves, calm their bodies, and give them peace and patience? Would you just begin to speak love and protection and power over their lives and over their hearts? Would you help them right now begin to remove the chaos? Would you help them begin to solve the chaos that might be going on at their home or their jobs or with their friends or with their family, God? Would you just begin to give them the solutions to be able to solve these issues that are going on in their lives? And would you bring peace to them right now in the name of Jesus? Would you bless them right now, God, in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.